Capitol Senator John Hoban joins us at the top of the show today as we're live at Bismarck State College for the visit of the Biden administration EPA administrator. Senator, nice to see you.
Scott, thanks for letting me join you. Greetings to your listeners. And this view of the Missouri River, the iconic Missouri River, it's just gorgeous. We're at the National Energy Center of Excellence. Obviously, this was a project we developed when I was governor, so I'm pretty proud of it. And, North Dakota's a powerhouse in agriculture. We're a powerhouse in energy. Probably going to talk about that a little bit today. But we're doing some pretty great things in technology, too.
You sure are. And, you know, you've been saying for some time that, yes, ag is the 800-pound gorilla of North Dakota, always will be, and a very strong, you know, part of that stool. And energy has become another very strong part of that three-legged stool. But technology, manufacturing, and then technology touches all of them, doesn't it?
Well, we were in Grand Forks last week announcing how we are going to have the communications mission at the Grand Forks Air Force Base for low Earth orbit satellites. And we're going to be putting up a ton of satellites. Matter of fact, General Atomics Company that's located in Grand Sky Technology Park is putting up two satellites this month in June. And they're also, we announced a grant where they're going to help develop laser communication. So instead of radio waves, we're going to communicate with these satellites from Grand Forks Air Force Base with lasers, so ground to satellite, and then lasers satellite to satellite, and from the satellites to our Reaper drones, the UAS, unmanned aviation. That's what's being developed at Grand Sky and Grand Forks Air Force Base as part of the future. So the technology stuff, whether it's military or commercial, ag, energy, all these things, doing it here in North Dakota. It's pretty amazing stuff.
And, you know, I've talked to the folks from General Atomics, family-owned, run company, pretty amazing. You got Northrop Grumman, big public company. You got Harris. You got Mitsubishi yesterday. You got so many of these folks. And I asked them, look, you could be anywhere. There's FAA test sites in California. Right. You guys are used to doing this visit California around the globe. Explain to me how you find North Dakota. You pick North Dakota first as a horse to ride. And what I really want our listeners to know, we're quick to say, Senator Hoven, do more of this. Senator Kramer, do more of this. Governor Burgum, why aren't you doing that? But you guys deserve a lot of credit for creating an environment in which these people understand that if they're coming here to invest in our state and they're going to be a job generator, that they're going to get some special attention they don't get anywhere else, and that's why they come. I mean, they specifically mentioned we can get Senator Hoven on the phone, Kramer. You know, we got the governor on speed dial. It doesn't happen in many places. So
we got a great education system here in North Dakota. We got great people that do a great job, and then we create an environment where these companies can be successful, creating the jobs of the future. Matter of fact, when I leave here, I'm going over to Collins Aerospace, which is a division of Raytheon Technologies, one of the leading aerospace companies in the world. They're in Jamestown. And we're going to talk about some of the...
And they've been there for a while, right?
They have been through different ownership. Now it's Raytheon Technologies. And through some of the work we've done on defense appropriations, they're doing work for the military, again, right here in North Dakota. So we're really driving this whole technology thing, and it links everything. This ADM plant that we announced in Jamestown, and I'll be over there as well today, just a couple weeks ago.
Again, ADM, not a small name in agriculture.
No, and how did Cargill said they were leaving, so we turned, you know, adversity into opportunity. This $350 million crush plant is going to create such a market for our farmers. The largest soybean-growing county in the country is Cass County. And so that's not only a great market for our farmers because you reduce the transportation cost, but there's four different ways we're combining ag and energy with that project. Some of that soy oil, of course, is food grade. Some's going to go out to the Marathon refinery for renewable diesel. We're also, there's a ethanol plant there where we'll capture the CO2 off the ethanol plant. And then the waste steam is driving the other parts of the plant as well. So there's like four different combinations of ag and energy coming together. It's amazing. And so, again, all hooked together with this technology.
Senator John Holman with us today. Questions or comments, he'll be here at the bottom of the hour. And then at 9:30, a roundtable begins with the EPA administrator, Senator Kramer, Severin Hoven, Governor Burgum up there. Is Kelly here today, too?
Kelly is here.
Congressman Armstrong. They will, and I think a lot of them are going to get some, you know, of the individuals around the table to tell the story directly to the EPA administrator. It's as much that they hear from these folks as it is from you guys who are regularly pounding on his door, I guess, right?
Yeah, the key today is, from my perspective, is this is about cracking the code. We cracked the code in the Bakken, right? We figured out how to do directional drilling, and we turned oil production in North Dakota from, you know, when I came in as governor, it was less than 100,000 barrels a day going down. And we drove it all the way up to 1.5 million barrels a day, lightest, sweetest, best crude in the world with the smallest environmental footprint. We have, you know, one well, you go down 2 miles, you drill 3 miles in three directions underground, almost no footprint, very best crude, you know, low cost, dependable, national energy security, which is national security, right here in North Dakota with the best environmental standards. Now, what's not to like about that? And we're going to do the same thing with our coal-fired electric plants, because we are going to crack the code on putting that down whole, making it commercially viable. That's why I'm working so hard on 45Q. But we've worked to get front-end help to, for these guys to make the conversion, the loan guarantees that they need, and with 45Q and 48A, the tax credit to make it commercially viable. So we're going to crack that code here for our coal-fired electric industry, and that's a big thing that I really want to get across, because we want EPA to help in that process and get us regulatory certainty. They need help.
But here's what worries me, and I'm curious how you crack this code. The Biden administration is obviously packed with people from the Obama administration. And we all remember well a clean power plan that said, you know, I know 11% was supposed to be the reduction for CO2 we expect out of North Dakota. Let's make it, oh, it's a red state, 40%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, as punitive as you can possibly be, so much so a court said, wait a minute. You can't do this because you're not doing it fairly. How do you take on that kind of mentality? Because I'm not sure they want a solution. I think they'd rather take out the industry rather than have a solution. Am I wrong?
Well, see, you've got a whole group that talks about all of the above, but they really don't want all
right.
of the above. Right. So the key here is that we get the Biden administration to actually not hold us up. We can do this, and we can deploy these technologies that reduce greenhouse gases, but they need to help, not hold us up. And that's going to be the key. That's why I've invested a lot of time talking to the administration, to Jennifer Granholm at DOE. We were governors together. Now she's Secretary of Energy. We'll have her out here, to people like Michael Regan, the EPA administrator. They, in other words,
I think it's great they come out, but are they going to do that?
That's going to be the key, right, Scott? In other words, we're going to find out, because we're moving ahead. Now, are they going to help us do it or not? That's what we're going to find out.
Are you asking for them sort of to leave us alone? I mean, the reason oil, the boom happened in North Dakota was as much about the private. Held minerally rights, that they couldn't do anything. They could mess with federal, they couldn't mess with the private. Is there an equivalent of that in this space?
In this sense, that we've put these programs in place, now let us use them. Don't hold us up. Let our folks will do it. Our industry will do it. Our people will do it. Our scientists will do it. EERC at UND, leading research in coal-fired electric energy development and carbon capture. No one does it better than they do. So yeah, just let us use the programs that we've legislated, and then let our people make it happen.
So it's almost like, at a minimum, get them to look the other way and just say, North Dakota, just let them go. Let them go. I would make the argument on a 10th Amendment basis. Is this a states' rights issue?
Yeah, you know, it really is, because a lot of these programs, like I say, we've already put them in place. Now just let us use them. Let us do our thing. We'll get the job done.
Do you believe Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, want a solution? Or do they want to be punitive against the industry?
You know, we'll find out, right? I mean, this, look, if we're going to truly have all the above, if we're going to have baseload, you can't regulate other countries. But if we develop this technology here, other countries will adopt it. I mean, if you really want to address energy the right way, let us do our thing and, in fact, help us do it.
Solve a problem.
But let us show what we can do.
Yeah. Now, to that point, China is building coal plants, right? I mean, they are on a torrid pace to build them.
That's exactly where I'm going. What does China do? They're always stealing our technology. That's what they do.
Yep.
So think about this. We deploy this technology here, so we maintain our coal-fired electric industry. We decarbonize it, just like we're talking about. Guess what? China will they'll adopt that technology. Well, in this case, that means reducing global emissions. So that's why technology is the solution, not regulation.
And you can almost smoke them out a little bit on that point, right? Because
if
they're trying to actually solve the problem, and we realize, look, China's building them, we're shutting them down here. So if we say, well, wait a minute here, you know what? Let us do it here so it, if nothing else, it can be exported. Take the technology and export it.
Here's a case where we actually want them to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, let them steal it.
Because actually that would help reduce global emissions.
More with Senator Hovind coming up momentarily on What's on Your Mind, brought to you today by our friends at PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. If you have a question or comment, we'll get you into the next segment here with the Senator at 800-228-0550. I'm just thinking of big tech and censorship and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And all this has to do with the Section 230 thing that gives him the freedom to do it. You guys tried to make sure that was part of the last budget deal. It got pulled out. Even some conservative Republicans helped pull that out. You didn't. Senator Cramer didn't. Is there ever going to be a way to rein these guys in?
You know, I think we need to address it. We've got to reform it, address 230s. You know, I'm supportive of doing that. We've talked about it before. So, yeah, I think so. I'm hopeful that we can get that done.
How does that get done? So, in other words, everybody agrees. How do you defend that? Okay, they're going to lose that. We're going to put it in. And then it's in a bigger budget bill, so it has to be. It's a big pill you got to swallow, right? But it reminds me of the production tax credit on the wind thing. Even the wind industry now says, we don't want it. We get this as politically not a good look. We don't want the subsidy. And by golly, it keeps getting sneaked in there. How does that happen?
I don't know. I get the sense that more people, including on the other side of the aisle, are starting to recognize this needs to get done. So I'm hopeful we can get it done. I think we just got to keep working on it.
By the way, on both, on production tax credit and on Section 230?
Definitely on PTC.
Because I don't think Chuck Grassley's got that memo, has he?
No, I was talking about Section 230. Okay. PTC is a tougher one. As you know, we're working that. But that's harder to predict because there's still a strong push from, obviously, as part of that Green New Deal stuff. But on 230, I think there is more support building to do that, and we do need to address it.
The greatest gift to Russia and to China is a big tech that censors our people, right? So, I mean, the big tech's doing it here for whatever reason they're doing it. Section 230 would remove that incentive to do it because they'd now be liable for this stuff. But back to energy for a minute. The greatest gift to Russia and China is hurting the U.S. energy industry, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why, you know, we've got to continue to produce more energy. That's how we put pressure on Russia and China. That's why when the Biden administration lifted those sanctions on Nord Stream 2, that's the absolute wrong thing to do.
Lifting sanctions on a pipeline from Russia to Germany and shutting down the Keystone XL.
And making it harder to produce energy here. That's exactly the wrong thing to do, not only in terms of economics and competitiveness in the global economy, but in terms of our national security and even from a military standpoint. That's not the way to go. And, you know, this stuff, there's a lot that goes into making it happen. There are only two states in the nation right now that can actually capture and sequester carbon. One's North Dakota, because we started back in 2008.
And we have the geology, right?
We have the geology.
Perfecting the technology.
Right.
Yep.
One, we have the geology. Two, we started back in 2008, yep, getting all the things in place so we have the legal and regulatory environment to do it. So if we put CO2 downhole on your land, you get paid for it, and you know it's safe and secure. But we also are one of only two states that have EPA approval. We're approved to do it. So somewhere else in the country they can say, oh, we're going to do this.
Well, we're doing it.
Yeah, we've got a 13-year head start on getting the things done here so we can do it. So there's talking about doing it and then actually being able to do it.
And what's amazing is back to your tenure as governor, you have been a big backer of value-added ag, and ethanol was the leader on CO2 capture and storage, right?
Well, and as you know, we now have a project where the plants in Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota are all going to bring it up here because they can't do it. That's what I'm saying. They can't do it in their states.
Yep.
I don't know about the geology, but they haven't put the legal, regulatory, and EPA approval structure in place to do it. But guess what? When they pipe that up here, that $2 billion pipeline, we're going to get paid for it. Our farmers, our landowners, our ranchers, they're going to get paid by these other, you know, by all these other plants. And so we're going to benefit from that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just like a saltwater disposal well. If you have that on your ranch or your farm, you get paid for it.
Text has a question. And by the way, welcome text too. It's 701-367-2054 for Senator Hovind today, or call us at 800-228-0550. He'll be here for a few more minutes, and then the event, the roundtable, which we're going to take the entire thing on the air.
Oh, great.
So we can hear from the ag community, we can hear from the energy community, and hear directly what the EPA administrator has to say about that. A big get.
Good stuff.
For these folks today, for sure. Texter says, Senator, can we start the process of getting crops released for grazing? We're desperately dry, and we should know by Independence Day if the crops have any hope. By then, pastures will be used up. The traditional October-November release dates will be too late for the cattle guys. Can we get the ball rolling ASAP?
Really appreciate this because we are in very bad drought. Very bad drought, very serious. I met with farmers from around the state earlier this week. We got drought across the state. I'm going to get people from RMA, the crop insurance people, out here soon, and we're going to start having them, showing them what's going on. Yeah, we need early haying and grazing. Our cattle guys are already up against it. They're short on grass. I've actually got a bill in to change that haying and grazing date permanently from November 1, because up here it should be sooner. So I'm working on a permanent basis. But for this year, yeah, we got to get this help going right now on the dog, particularly starting with our ranchers, because they need hay, you know, because they're so short of grass. But obviously it's affecting our farmers too. And this is a tough drought for us right now.
David says, listening to you and Senator Hovind, my hometown of Northwood has mothballed a canola plant built recently. It ran a few years, prices dropped, and it closed. If anyone is interested, direct questions to go to the Cosmo Brothers Trucking. Out of there.
Thanks for this point, too, because I already talked to the EPA administrator about getting canola approved for that renewable diesel so that that creates another market for our canola guys in state. Maybe that helps get them going up in Northwood, too, because that, just like that plant we talked about, Marathon, will be using soy oil. I'm going to get canola qualified to do that as well. I got a sign-on letter. Oh, and by the way, speaking of sign-on letters, we got 27 senators on board, and we sent that to the FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and this morning we announced a $250 million natural gas pipeline, the North Bakken expansion, after being delayed for 2 years. We got approval from the FERC. $250 million investment that's going to really increase how much natural gas we can get to market. So the North Bakken expansion just sent the release out this morning.
And, there's a victory.
Big victory. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
especially in the
getting a
political
gas pipeline
environment you're in right
yeah, now.
Yeah, now.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty
huge.
Good, right? That's a huge win.
Yeah. A texter says the Beulah Sinkfields plant went online in 85, planning in the 70s without the U.S. DOE loan guarantee of $1 billion. Plus, the plant would have never been built.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We've got loan guarantees in place both through DOE and rural utility services. Because we got to be able to access them. That's the key. That's
right.
What we're talking about.
And also, that lays off some of the risk because the capital markets are scared of this industry.
Precisely.
Yeah, fascinating. Thanks, Senator. Good to see you.
Thanks, Scott.
Yep, we'll let Senator Hovind skedaddle over to the round table.